So can we talk about Half Resurrection Blues?
By all means. One of my favorite topics. Yes.
So I finished it in 3.5 days.
Hey,
I'm a fast reader,
I guess. That's great. Thank you.
So I very much enjoyed it. So it's book one of a series.
The Bone Street Roomba series.
Yeah, yes. Of a series. 3 books, possibly more. Kind of hoping for more Sasha, just saying.
Sasha's the main character in the third book.
Awesome.
I'm writing it now. I'm writing her point of view right now, actually, today.
Sweet.
Yes, so that's kind of a spoiler. Yes, you know that she lives that long. Well, she might be a ghost.
I'm not sure.
One of the characters, one of the other main characters in this book is a ghost.
Yeah.
No,
are we talking about...
book three. In the book I'm writing right now,
okay.
One of the main point of view characters is a ghost.
But one that appeared in the first?
No, one that's from South Nocturna. Her name is Chris.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So she's a black punk rock chick, teenager.
Yeah.
With a mohawk, who's just like amazing weaponry master.
That's really another thing I liked about Sasha. She's like...
She's bad.
Thank you.
She's a killer. Yeah. She's a bodyguard. She's a killer. She's a lot of stuff.
It starts off with the, as they say in writing classes, the inciting incident. The first chapter, literally, because you read that at the Sunday Zat series, and that's literally where it starts.
Yep.
And that's where kind of stuff goes down. And then it obviously lingers because, you know, there's the entrada, which is the entrance, and do you want
to
give a sum?
Well, the beginning, it begins with Carlos, who's this half-dead guy. I mean, he's like the cleanup man for the bureaucracy of hell, basically, which is called the Council of the Dead, which is a really uncreative name, but that's their fault, not mine. So they send him...
Well, it's good for acronyms.
Yes, it's the COD. And actually, in Salsa Nocturna, they play around a lot with that because they're so bored and of just calling it the council or whatever. So they call it like the corpulent old dickheads or whatever. You know, they just make up stuff. But so they send him to off this. They give him a target, basically, which is just what he does. He's the hitman for the council. And then come to find out, so he's half dead and half alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that his target is also half dead and half alive, who's this guy named Trevor. And so they kind of almost have this weird momentary friendship.
Yeah.
Where he's like, they have this kind of camaraderie, but he knows he's supposed to kill him. And he knows he's up to some fuck shit.
Yeah.
Because Trevor's definitely scheming and plotting and trying to bring in, actually, a bunch of college kids into hell.
Yeah.
And he's like, this cannot fly. And anyway, it's his job to kill him. So he does.
Yeah.
So then, right before Trevor dies, he gives him a picture of a beautiful woman. And he's like, this is Sasha. She's my sister. And I want you to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, why? First of all, I just killed you. Why are you asking me to protect your sister? And he's like, I want you to protect her from the Council of the Dead. And he's like, that's my boss. But he's like so enamored by the picture.
Yeah.
He's like, sure, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trevor dies. And then he goes off to find Sasha on the one hand, knowing that they're going to send him to kill her at some point. Because obviously. And then also there's this infestation in Brooklyn, specifically in Prospect Heights, of these little tiny demons on... stationary bicycles that are called Nks, which is spelled NGK, and no one can get rid of them because you can't kill them, and they just sit there and they kind of annihilate spirits if you get too close.
They remind me of gremlins.
They're kind of like gremlins.
Kind of freaked me out when I was a kid.
They're kind of like gremlins, but like more strategic and focused because
they
have this whole like plan, it turns out, that they're like doing. But
and there's an illustration of them in
the that picture. Yeah.
So
there's a little ink in there. So that's the setup.
Yeah. And throughout the way, bunches, everything, as you can imagine, things are connected in ways.
Indeed.
So, it's a cool adventure. It has good pacing.
Thank you.
It never lingers, but you're definitely in Carlos's mind. What I really liked is the whole aspect of not being able to communicate. Like, obviously, he does talk, but he's often thinking... crap, did I say the right thing? Is this what you say? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what do you
He's
say to
aloof.
Someone in this situation?
Right.
I'm not quite sure,
right.
Which is maybe toggling with the whole dead, half dead, or just the awkwardness of being people. I really related. I love that aspect because it really made him
cool.
A fully fleshed being to me was this constant thing, obsession with finding the right thing to say. Constant obsession with finding the right to Sasha, to Riley, to Mama Esther.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed to have it down with the council. He seemed to
pretty much he's good at that. Because that's how he... So he doesn't remember his life. So that's a big part of it. And so he's on this one level, he just feels really outside of everything. Mm-hmm. And he can't really, like, relate.
Yeah.
At the same time, he's this actual warm human being. And as much as he wants to kind of be that indomitable badass, and a lot of this was me playing with this idea of, like, you know, we were talking about noir. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's this, like, he's this cold detective character. But at the same time, like, he constantly just opens up all the time. And even though he's trying not to, he constantly makes really good friends, falls in love. All this shit goes, he's just really, like, open-hearted.
Yeah.
But he's also awkward and aloof and confused and can never find the right words, but he's thinking all this stuff. That moment when the white girl hits on him and then passes out, and like all this really weird shit, you know. And he's just like, but it's also, to me, it's also about the limits of language in general, because I think especially as writers we really come up against like realizing that words just don't do it a lot.
No,
you know, and that's good. That's a beautiful thing. That's why there's music and why there's things that can't be said, and that's fine. But that's always interesting to me, like, you know, like when someone's mourning, like when someone whose loved one died and you say, I'm sorry, like, what is that? You know, like, we don't have a better word. And, you know, a hug will do it sometimes. But that's one with him where he's like, but also with touch, because for Carlos, his skin is kind of cold.
Grayish.
And so when he touches other people, he's always looking at them to see how they're going to register the fact that he's kind of got a dead thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And so different people react differently, and some of them don't care, and some of them notice it, and they're like, okay, I see who you are. And some of them are like chilled. There's a moment in book two where he's watching Kia and her best friend. So Kia's she's a 16-year-old black girl that works in the Botanica.
Yeah, with a very business-oriented mindset.
She's badass, She's not here for your, she's not here for your bullshit. She's not trying to play with nobody. She is like... Yeah, she's real. So, yeah, he's watching her and her best friend just be playful with each other in a park because they're all hanging out waiting for some shit to go down. And they're just like, you know, like the way, you know, kids do or teenagers do, just like batting at each other and being on top of each other and clowning each other and everything. And he's just like, wow. Like, he just, because he doesn't touch people a lot.
Yeah.
And it like just really like hits him. So there's the language piece where he's just, and then there's the touching thing. And that's why I think when he does, spoiler alert, find Sasha, to find someone else that has all those weird eccentricities that he does, it's like,
it's a comfort for them both. Well, it's interesting because I think what people may miss about fantasy or anything with the fantastic, you know, people look at magical realism, but I think when you look in the a bit harder core fantasy, I often use Buffy as a reference. How much you can look at the human condition, even if they're demons, half dead people,
especially
vampires,
because
you have really kind of no holds barred, and in Half Resurrection Blues, you really you really look at the identity of the half dead, half alive, and you mentioned being biracial at the Sundays at reading and how that kind of tied in the politics with the New York Council of the Dead of having, even when you're dead, there are rules, and he's one foot in, one foot out, constantly trying to figure out how do things work, which is human.
Right.
Everyone does every day. You kind of go out and be like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this works.
Yeah.
I might piss some people off.
Right.
And, you know, all this stuff. It's just constantly examining being a person and how difficult that is.
Right.
And then you put in some unks, Ayo and Entrada, and weird guy named Sarko. And, you know, potential end of the world, and heightens it, but you never lose sight of Carlos wanting something more, wanting to know more about himself, wanting connection.
And
I think that's what literature does.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're dragons, I mean, I love Game of Thrones.
Game
of Thrones is fantastic. It looks at everything.
Yeah. It's amazing. I've been reading the books. They're so damn good.
Oh my God.
So mad I have to wait for the next one. Let me ask you this, and you can be honest, but this is an interesting critique that has happened around, a conversation I think that's happened around Half Resurrection, where people really love it, but feel like Sasha doesn't quite get the moment, that, or doesn't get fully fleshed out, I think. And I think it's an interesting, I have my own take on how I feel about it, but I think it's a really important conversation to be had. So what do you think?
I think also knowing that they're gonna be viewpoints, alternating viewpoints.
Right, pretend you don't know that.
Okay.
Because no one knows that, really.
Really? I just felt like she's going to come back. Okay, I felt like her story wasn't over. At the end of the day, I felt like, okay, this is Carlos's story. And then you kind of confirmed that in a way, but I also felt, I was like, this is Carlos's story right now. I'm with Carlos right now.
Right, and he doesn't know it that well.
And
as much as he loves her and he's wild about her and all this stuff, he really doesn't know her that well.
No. And I just feel like it's his story and everyone else is a supporting character.
Yeah.
Not that they're not people, you know, like Kia, business, problems at home, you know, Mama Esther, that weird thing in the park, even, like, everything sticks out to me.
Oh, Pastor Mac.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, everything Baba sticks Eddie. Out to me. Dro, Riley, the Amandas, even, you know?
The Amandas. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. So, Sasha, you know, the Blades, she's kick-ass people, so I'm excited, because I'm like, she's gonna get her own story, because isn't her time, but she's gonna get her story. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I keep referring to Buffy. It's kind of like, this was Carlos's episode.
Right.
And then
that's a good way to look
the next episode will be Xander's.
Right.
That'll be Willow's.
That's a really cool way to look at it.
Tyrion Lannister's episode.
Right.
And then Jamie's episode.
That's a lot how I see it.
Yeah, like, especially with series. With series, you know.
Yeah. That's really the way I look at it.
Yeah.
I struggled with it while I was writing, because I knew that it was a challenge. It was going to be a challenge to bring her out enough, because I knew that he didn't know her that well.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, how do you get into a character that the point of view character doesn't know? So there is a whole chapter where it's her telling her story, and there's that moment where they switch dreams, and she's thinking of him. He gets her dream, and
that's a tense little moment. When that happens, the dream switch.
Yes, it is. That's all we'll say about that.
I think it's also important to have those moments with Dennis Lehane in Live by Night. He has two characters. One character, the main character is white Irish guy from Boston, and he meets the love of his life. She's Cuban. And they have such great moments.
He's a great writer. I haven't read that.
He's really good with dialogue. He's amazing with dialogue.
Yes.
And that's what I felt like. That's where I bring up the noir quality is a lot of noir films, you have those moments. It's like you have those really keyed in moments between the male and the female.
Right.
You know something's happening.
Right.
You know someone's keeping something from somebody.
Right.
Or they're both keeping something from somebody.
Right.
Know, from each other. And not themselves as well. You just know there's a game being played.
Exactly.
But there's also a vulnerability, which is really I really liked about their scenes.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I saw a lot of influence there. And I wanted to bring attention to that, and I'm glad I got a chance to read it before talking with you.
Yeah.
Is that this is what you can see in diverse books.
Right.
You can see the influences of so many aspects of media and writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about, you know, he mentions, oh, there's a half-dead Puerto Rican standing over this guy right now. I wonder if he's upset. I wonder if he's going to notice. But there are other aspects of Carlos, too. He's trying to find himself. And he's trying to find his identity. But he does reference that, you know, there's cultural aspects, you know? He's Puerto Rican, that he's, you know, following a bunch of white hipsters, that Sasha's black. That he's working with Kia and Baba and all these other people.
Right.
There's a Haitian doctor that comes in.
Right.
You know, like there's just this eclecticness too.
Yeah.
And it's done, to me, it's done well because that's, you know, my world too. New York City is such a diverse world that I can't just sit there and say, and then, you know, these guys in skinny jeans just came up. And not have the default be like, you know. So.
That's where I'm just like, it's just true. Like if you live in New York City and you're not, and your world isn't diverse, it's because you're literally like, again, like
not
doing the willfully obtuse thing. Like you're not
seeing,
it's there.
Yeah.
It's there. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. Mm-hmm. It might be uncomfortable for you because maybe they're serving you, but that doesn't mean that they're not there. They do actually exist, you know? So there's that. I mean, I think also like kind of what we've been talking about, but just what you said is like that, this idea that, like, I am and I am also. And that's another thing that lack of diversity really just misses. Because you'll have the black character. You'll have the native character. And they are just the black character.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all the stereotypes of black. Or maybe they're the opposite of the stereotypes, which is still being governed by the stereotypes.
Yeah.
Because then it's a mockery of that. You know, so, like, it But I wasn't like, I didn't sit down to necessarily destroy that. It's just that I sat down to write real people.
Yeah.
People that are like the people that I know and love. So Baba Eddie is, you know, he's Latino and he's a Santero and he's gay.
Yeah.
And he's HIV positive. He has a husband who's Native American and gay. And it's not so that there will be a Native American character. It's because this is the truth.
I love their conversation too. The husband and
Russell, Carlos. Russell and Carlos. Yeah. That's been the most.
Yeah. Favorite. It's very like boom, boom, boom. Boom,
Russell boom, goes off.
Yeah, truth bombs.
Yeah, he's just like, let me just lay it out for you. I was like, how are you doing? He's like, let me just lay out the whole situation for you. Ba-ba! Like, that is the most
favorite part of the book. This is how I chose to fight the good fight.
Right.
By making
right.
money.
That's actually, I actually had that conversation with a lawyer, a Ojibwe lawyer, who was like, this is what it is. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was deep.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you.
Yeah, a lot of absorbed information from Carlos in that scene. I was just like, yeah, that kind of sounds like my grandparents talking to me right now.
He's just nodding.
He's like, because what do you say?
Right, you just gotta let him go. He's like, yeah.
He's just like messed up.
He's like, you sold all the cars. Most people flush it.
He's like, I'm a businessman.
Yeah, right. Russell is a businessman. You know, can't knock the hustle. Russell with the hustle.
Yeah. So that has me extremely excited for Shadow Shaper.
Thank you.
As well.
I'm excited about Shadow Shaper too. Again, yeah. Shadow Shaper is the first book I sat down to write. Yeah. Like, because it's changed a lot since then. Shadow Shaper is also the most I've edited a book. I mean, in the sense of like torn up and put back together multiple times. Entirely different narratives in there. But, and mythologies especially. Woo! But it's very close to my heart. It's like my first child. Like,
so far I'm hearing comparisons to The Summer Prince.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's a beautiful book.
So I haven't read that one yet, but I've heard very good things.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for Shadow Shaper.